Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios in New York on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Pharrell with Carver High and Mavi. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news, you can save a bunch of money. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. So, Chris Bryant has three home runs tonight. Mavi, is that what you're telling me? In that big Cubs 14-4 beatdown of the Nationals in D.C., that game's in the bottom of the ninth or ending or something like that, and he lit it up, huh?
He absolutely lit it up. And your boy Vlad Guerrero Jr. also had another home run tonight with a little help from a friend, because they tried to rob him of a double right at the wall, and instead it goes off the center fielder's glove over the wall.
There you go. I heard that it hit the guy's glove and popped over the wall. You lose. So there are games going on. I was watching Minnesota leads in Seattle 1-0 in the top of the fourth. Angels 3-0 on the Royals bottom three. After 8, Toronto 10-2 over the White Sox on the south side of Chicago, and that Cubs score is 14-4. Philly beat Colorado 5-4 in Philadelphia. Baltimore won in Cleveland 5-1. Houston won at Fenway 3-1. Dodgers 6-0 at Great American against the Reds. And then Atlanta was beating up on Milwaukee, I saw at one point. The San Diego lead of the Pirates is 1-0. And Arizona leads the Giants in the fifth 1-0. And then the Yankees rally. What happened there, Carver? High little rally cap?
They did get a little rally cap. They were down 3-1 going into the bottom of the ninth. Voit, I think, homered to kick it off. They just got a run on a passed ball. And then Gio Urshela with the game-winning hit.
Wow. And then let's see if I'm missing anything here. A's 7-2 over the Tigers. Marlins 8-6 over the Mets. Always good to lose to the 11-31 Marlins on your resume. Anyone can win. They're professionals. The Braves win over the Brewers 12-8. There you go. So I just third home run of the evening for Chris Bryant. His last three home run game was on June 27th of 2016, and that was against the Reds. So we already saw tonight the Bucks blow out the Raptors. I mean, that was just ugly, is what that was. They just kicked their ass 6 ways till Sunday. They're up 2-0, and I mean, they're 10-1, aren't they, in the playoffs? They are shredding everyone, absolutely kicking everyone's ass. So, I mean, Toronto just got mowed over tonight. Like, they don't even look like they're ready, like, to play this team. I mean, you got to be kidding me. It's the conference finals, and you're just going to let them push you around like that? Like, literally just schooling you in every facet of the game. Mark is in Sydney, Australia.
Hey, Scotty, how's it going?
Hey, dude. How you doing, brother?
Yeah, not bad. I know you're not much of a hockey guy. You talk more NBA. But,
That was good. That was good.
Oh, mate, I was cracking up. I couldn't get through yesterday. God, I was cracking up. What was the moon was full or something yesterday with those.
Yeah, it was. Carver, I wasn't here for it. He didn't experience it, but we had quite the evening in terms of from midnight on. It was bad.
Well, I tell you what, that was probably one of the most entertaining shows I've heard, and I've been listening for a good 10 years.
Right, so. I know a lot of people reacted to it today, that they enjoyed it. I've always said if I'm mad, people seem to think the shows are really good. But I was definitely mad. I mean, it just got so painful. And it was just one after the next, like literally every single caller, it got worse. I mean, between the I don't know, the idiocy to the swearing to the dirty to the sex to the, I mean, it was just one disaster. It was one, literally one car crash after the next. I felt like I was at Talladega and they just kept crashing, you know, on the restart. So,
oh, it was a classic show, though.
People liked it.
I was on YouTube. There's a video. It's probably goes back a while ago. I guess when you were at Howard Stern, and how it's actually Howard Stern's show, and he was commenting how he's saying about he listened to your show the night before, and I guess it was when the Penguins are playing the Red Wings in the Stanley Cup Finals,
right?
And he pretty much plays you counting down the last minute, and then when they win, you go off, and then Howard was commenting. But it's, I think it's about a 5-6 minute video, but it's hilarious. I was listening to it yesterday.
Yeah, it's a great video. It's very dirty. And it's certainly not safe for work or kids. It's really profane language and everything. It's crazy, but it's, you know, it was uncensored radio. It was great. We got away with murder. So when I did that series live, not only was I able to be dirty, we also had the rights to it, so I could do sit and do play by play of the game while I watched it on the air without any repercussion. So I was like doing the game rated X, like literally with foul language and everything. And it was just, it really was awesome. And so like if people Google whatever is, I think it says Penguins Red Wings Game 7, 2009 Stanley Cup Finals. If you just Google that, Pharrell calls Game 7 Penguins Red Wings 2009, you'll see it. And then if you watch it, you're going to – it's obviously very offensive, but it is kick-ass. It's funny.
It's classic.
It is.
Oh, mate, well, good speaking to you. I love the call in because, I'm probably going to re-listen to yesterday's show because it was that funny.
Well, I guess it was. I didn't know. I guess, you know, when I got in the car with Mafia at some point, I was like – so what happened there? I was like, is the phone going to ring in the morning? I mean, what happened there? Because I was, at one point, Carver High, I just finally had enough. And I just snapped. And I just started, I don't even know. I just started screaming and yelling it. And it was just unbelievable. I just felt like it was idiot hour. And I was just, it was just unbelievable to me how bad it was. And it was just one after the next. And I finally just said, Jesus, I can't even take it anymore. I wanted to kill myself. It was the worst. Like, it was like for an hour straight, but it also became very funny because it was so bad. It was so bad that it became funny. It became entertaining. I even said to Mavi, I go, it actually might have been really entertaining that I was flipping out on people. It was. And I'm sure half of them thought I was really mean. Have a good weekend, brother. Down in Sydney, Australia, checking in. One of my favorite fans and callers of all time. Down under. That's where I'm going to go, Mafia, when I have to, go into hiding. If I have to go, into witness protection, I want to go to Australia.
You have to leave your family because they can't go on a flight more than, 4 hours?
Yeah, I don't need them at that point if I'm on the run. You know what I mean? I'm thinking if I'm going into witness protection or hiding, I might have to go, down under and then start a whole new existence. And, 34C, I don't know if I'd be able to live without her, but I'd have to get a replica of her. You know what I mean? Go down there, snag a little replica. Shake out. Ooh. Some of those Aussie chicks. Come on. I don't know. Maybe 34C would meet me there later, at a later date. You know what I mean? If I went undercover and I went into witness protection, I went into hiding, if she knew the locale of my destination, if she knew that, and if she waited long enough and the feds were like looking for me and then she slipped down there, went under, like underground, went down under, underground, and hooked up with me down there, we might be able to start at like a real steamy affair again. Check out. Ooh. Carver High, where do you think you'd go if you had to go into hiding? I'm thinking down under. Where do you think you'd run off to? Switzerland or something?
Yeah, maybe somewhere in that region. Iceland.
Iceland, a little Iceland. They got a little soccer over there.
Maybe a little Canada, a little Newfoundland. Maybe something like that.
Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
Cole Harbour.
Sure.
Set up a little hockey league or something.
I feel like Dublin would be a little too obvious. I did something maybe on the outskirts, like go back.
You could work for Proper 12 Whiskey. Undercover. Just go into, like, maybe.
I got an in there. Maybe I'll try that.
You know what I mean? You'd be the whiskey guy. Didn't they serve you guys at one of your parties?
We have some connections with the Long Island-based management of them. Yeah.
I believe that. Mavi, where would you go into hiding?
I don't know.
Can't even figure it out. You can't even figure it out. I mean, like, what if maybe offshore? Would you go maybe Caribbean on a yacht, like an 85-footer, like below deck? Maybe go rogue and become a chef on a yacht in the Caribbean or in the Greek islands?
Something beach Caribbean would be nice, but you know, you gotta worry about those. I don't know. There's too much instability with like the dollar and stuff there, isn't there?
Listen, the Mavi's worried about the dollar. I'm worried about getting you on a yacht with a bunch of chicks and suntan oil.
More problems than we do here.
You're worried about the dollar?
I'm worried about. There's a lot of stuff going on in Greece that you're going to be around.
Did this guy just say that? He's worried about the dollar? I'm worried about. I'm going to start.
Bad economy. Listen, there's a lot of nationalism there.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start drinking again heavily, and I'm going to become a mobster, and I'm going to live in Sydney, Australia. All right? So if you need me, look in Melbourne. I did a radio show there once, you know. It failed horribly. It was awesome. I loved it. I did it every Saturday. It was a college football show I did. And not only did we cover all the big games in college football that day, but we also gave them NFL plays for the next day for all the people in Australia that like betting. I'm not kidding. It was great. I don't even remember. I just know I did it. I was living in New York, and somehow, some way, these crazy dudes in Melbourne tracked me down, and the next thing you know, I was doing their show every week. It was crazy. I don't remember much of it. I was high at the time, but I don't regret any of it, actually.
I feel like a lot of your stories end that way.
That's fine, too, Mafia. You can blame me for whatever you want. I had way more fun than you. It was like, he was high. I sure was, and I had a blast, and there were naked women everywhere. I just wanted to say that. Oh, by the way, Mafia, I have a problem at home with 34C. She's mad at me because I watched the remaining 5 episodes of Dead to Me without her. Remember I told
you? Busted on that?
Well, because remember I told you she can never sit down and watch a show with me because she's got 5 million things going on. 5 million, you know, she got the, you know, phone ringing off the hook.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Smoking. She's on the phone. I mean, there's all kinds of kids and projects in the house, like laundry going and everything else. Food and school and packing, this and that, and this, and then never just sit still. I'm like, listen, I'm going to watch it. No, we'll watch it together. Just save it. I'm like, I watched all of them. Sick of waiting. She's like, you watched without me? I'm like, yeah. Do you want me to tell you what happened, or are you going to watch it on your own? I'm not going to watch it then. Then she called me a D.
Well, wait till you go and watch Game of Thrones before the finale, because she's taking too long.
Oh, she's blown that off for 3 weeks. Isn't this week the last
one? This week's the finale.
You didn't watch last week?
I haven't watched the last two.
Yeah, you're in trouble. You need to go take care of that before Sunday night.
Surprised everything hasn't gotten ruined for you already.
No one. I run from it. Like, honestly, I like I'm on fire. Anyone that mentions
around.
Game of Thrones, I run. I heard people actually, by the millions, by 11 million people allegedly are going to call off work on Monday after it's over.
I mean, that's very possible.
Because they can't go, like, on with their life without it. They're going to be like and have a hangover from it on Monday. Is that
probably with all the complaining that was done this week? I'm sure.
I heard that people said they wanted to reshoot the entire season.
Those people are stupid. Those are people that haven't watched the entire. They're just.
What's wrong with those people?
Well, you haven't watched, so we really can't get into what's going on.
All right, John DeSilva's next from Parks, the morning line odds maker. We'll talk about tomorrow's crappy Preakness.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4CBS to get on the bench. John DeSilva is our good friend from Parks. He's the morning line odds maker, and he's been on the bench for over 2 decades doing Triple Crown races and Breeders' Cup. And anytime there's a big horse race, we have a gambling problem, so we bet heavily on it. John, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing?
All right, let me ask you, dude. So this crazy, I don't know if he's crazy, but I feel like he is. The maximum security owner, Gary West, he has basically thrown the gauntlet down and offered, what has he done? He's offered a $5 million challenge to all of, he said he would pay each of those owners $5 million if Country House, War of Will, Long Range, Toddy, and Boat Express, whatever it is, finishes ahead of Maximum Security in the next race against him through the end of the year. So how would this play out, and when is that race? When would that race be, like, where they were all on the track at the same time?
Well, I'm not sure we'll get them all at the same time, because Country House went to the veterinarian after the Kentucky Derby. He's not scheduled to run for a couple of months. Ward Will, as we see, is running tomorrow along with Bodhi Express. Long Range Toddy, we're not sure when he's going to run next. Basically, he wants to do a gentleman's bet head-to-head. You put up $5 million, but he wants the other people to put up $5 million. And if they feel it's too rich with their blood, he wants to put up $1.86 million, which is the Derby share for winning the race. But because he's that confident, he's got the best horse out there.
Well, I think he does, because his horse kicked everyone's ass in the Kentucky Derby and then got shafted.
He did not get due process. It is very controversial. Like I told you last time I was on the show, the more time goes on, the more information is going to come out, and this is going to go in court for a long time. But I think in the end, a court will make him the winner.
So now it's going up the food chain of courts, and we've discussed this before, but it's now, from what I saw later, you know, in the week here, that they've taken it to a higher court, and a federal judge is going to make this decision. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. And whoever loses, I'm sure, will do an appeal, and they're going to go to the next highest court. And for Gary West, who has lots of money, he'll go as far as he has to. And how about the jockey, Luis Saez, getting screwed, getting a 15-day suspension for that disqualification, where most jockeys normally get a 3-day suspension?
Why is it that it's unbelievable that they're treating this guy like he robbed a bank?
We've had jockeys who deserved long suspensions. Luis Saez did not deserve a long suspension. I mean, look, it's a situation where if you think he was going to get disqualified, okay, but he wasn't doing anything maliciously. I mean, this is a guy who lost his brother to a riding accident a few years ago who got killed during a race. So he's not going to go and do something intentionally to put somebody in danger. So to give him that type of suspension, to me, is unwarranted.
So, John DeSilva with us. For the first four finishers across the line in the Derby are all blowing off the Preakness for the first time since 1951. Maximum Security, Country House, Code of Honor, and Tacitus are all skipping the race in Pimlico. It's just unbelievable. Like, I mean, this, you can't tell me that this isn't bad for horse racing.
It's very bad for horse racing. I mean, horse racing has been the butt of jokes. I mean, you saw what happened last week where Zach Greinke took so long in between pitches that they actually put the Kentucky Derby in the background, and it showed that you could run the Kentucky Derby just as long as it took Zach Greinke to throw two pitches.
So even Omaha Beach is blowing off the race. The only horses that are in it from the 19-horse Derby field are Improbable, the favorite, War of Will, Win Win Win, and Bodhi Express, and they went 4, 7, 9, and 13 in that race. Other than that, it's basically wide open. How did this mess happen? How did this happen that this race is so meaningless?
We have a lot of controversy from Kentucky. We have a lot of controversy from California. The talent has not been great this year. Everybody kept on beating each other up. So we have no superstars right now. So people just blasé about it.
So tell me about the race in terms of Baffert's situation, because he's also going, he has a chance at a record 8th Preakness win this year with Improbable. Is that going to happen, do you think?
He has a chance to happen. He's my second choice. But Improbable, he just is a horse will drive you crazy. Going into the Kentucky Derby, I thought he was one race short. And I thought after the Kentucky Derby, we'd be ready to see the best of Improbable. But after seeing him run that race, he reminds me of Ben Simmons, a horse with all the talent in the world, but when push comes to shove, he doesn't have the cojones to take over and get the job done. So I think he'll be there. I just don't think he's going to be able to win tomorrow unless he really takes a big step up.
So what is happening to Pimlico? I heard that it's like it's a disaster, and that it's, you know, the Preakness is going to be run at Pimlico through 2020, and but the future of the racetrack is uncertain, and I find it staggering news to me because this just hit me in the face. I was like, oh, so they spent all this money on Laurel Park to fix it up, but they only spent a few mil on Pimlico. That's it? Is the Preakness going to be done at Pimlico?
They're fighting to keep the Preakness at Pimlico. It's not in the greatest neighborhood. I mean, the neighborhood does make a lot of money selling food to the people going to the racetrack and renting out the bathrooms for people who want to use it. But it's not exactly the most pleasing area to walk by the rest of the year. They only use it 12 days a year, basically. And the owners of Pimlico want the state to pony up $424 million to redo the whole area, which probably is not going to happen. They're going to do with the Preakness? Do they move it to Laurel, or are they forced to keep it at Pimlico, which, by the way, they lost 7,000 seats because they said the grandstand is falling down.
Oh, that's just fantastic. More porta-potty races is what they need there. The Preakness has been run there since 32. It'll be the 10th time that the Derby winner has not run in the Preakness, and the first time since 96. I mean, this whole thing's embarrassing, isn't it, at some point?
It's embarrassing, but it does give a couple of new shooters an opportunity to really take a step up. And I think my choice, you know, to win the race tomorrow is one of these new shooters who could take a step up.
All right, so give me your picks for the race. And what race is it tomorrow?
It is race 13, Pimlico. So they're starting early in the morning at 10:30, and the race goes off at 6:48 p.m.
Right. All right, so
my top choice
is
going to be number 5, Owendale. This is a horse who comes off a victory at Keeneland in the Lexington Stakes last time out. The horse has really learned how to come from off the pace. He was an impressive winner at 12-1. And you got Florent Giroux, who was a little controversial in Belmont last year. He's the jockey of this horse, for Brad Cox. And this is a horse who, by Into Mischief out of the Aspen Light, I think we'll get enough of a pace to get up in time and run down Improbable for the victory.
So you're going to go Owendale, the 5 horse, is to win, and you're going to exact it with Improbable, the 1.
Correct. And my third choice, I'm going to be using number 12, Another Twist of Fate. This is a horse who's run second in the last 2 starts. Jose Ortiz, one of the best jockeys in America, now has them out. He'll be running close to the pace. Some people aren't sure this horse is classy enough, but so far he's done nothing wrong. I have to give this horse respect.
All right, so wait a minute. That horse is it. Owendale, I saw it at 10-1. You said it's 12-1 now?
Owendale, I have it as 10-1.
All right, 10-1. And then Improbable's at 5-2?
Correct.
And then what is
it? The third choice is the 12 horse who is 6-1. And then my fourth choice is a horse called Signalman, who's 30-1.
So, all right, so I need to get this straight. So you're telling me it's 5-1, 12?
No, 5-4, 12-8.
Okay, so 5-4, 12-8. So I'm screwed up here looking at these races. So they're obviously not in the right order that I'm looking at. So you got the 5 Owendale to win. Who's the 4?
Correct.
Who's the 4?
That's Improbable.
Improbable is the 4 horse. And then the 12 horse is Another Twist of Fate. And the 8 horse is what's his name?
Signalman.
Oh, Signalman, the long shot at 30-1?
Yes.
Signalman at 30-1. All right, so you're in your exact that you're going 5-4.
Yeah, and I'm going to use the other horses in case, because if I could beat Improbable, you're going to get some great value on the exacta.
So your favorite bets would be, a win play show of 5-4, 12, and then a 5-4 exacta. And then anything else? So your try and your super is going to be that 5-4, 12-8?
Yes.
All right. And then what happened today at Pimlico? Did a horse die there today?
Unfortunately, we had a horse who had a cardiac episode after the race and died after the race.
And lastly, I want to say really quickly, did you see my boy on Mother's Day, his horse at down at Monmouth, Jovia with a victory in his second race. He's the one that lost at Aqueduct that day to the favorite at the last second by a nose. I told you about it. And then he had his second race ever. It was at Monmouth on Mother's Day, and the horse won by 5 lengths. Jovia, he's a moneymaker.
He's definitely a moneymaker. He's definitely one to watch out for the future. And by the way, tomorrow, if people are interested, Maximum Security will be parading in the paddock at 2:20. Would be people want to see him.
So people can see the horse at Pimlico tomorrow, 2:20. What's he stopping by for a beer?
At Monmouth Park.
Oh, at Monmouth Park. All right, there you go. I was going to say, what the hell is he doing at Pimlico? All right, so at Monmouth, he'll be at the stable, so people can check him out tomorrow at Monmouth when you're down the shore drinking heavily. All right, John DeSilva, thanks for coming on the bench. Good luck tomorrow.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Get your NBA, NHL over the weekend, all the baseball plays, the Wilder fight, UFC. It's all happening. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Get all my action all weekend long. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up. You'll love it. You get every pick, every play, every day, everything that's on the board in an email format. Picks are ranked, favorites at least. Buck a day, son. You're going to love it. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Get my plays all weekend long. All right, so I was just seeing this article. The Undefeated wrote about a black neighborhood's complicated relationship with the home of the Preakness. So basically what he was just talking about, DeSilva, that it's the neighborhood's like a dump, and it's wearing out its welcome, Pimlico in Baltimore, where it is, right? Sounds like they're making plans to leave there and move on. Maybe Laurel. I don't know. I don't know what the law is. I really don't, like, about leaving. And then Point of Honor won the Black Eyed Susan, which is always a very popular race on the day before the Preakness. Is the weather supposed to be nice there tomorrow? Are we going to have some soaking wet porta potty races? How many times have you seen it pouring rain at the Preakness? Honestly, have you seen it? Like, I know we just had the Kentucky Derby and the pouring slop. I don't want to see that again tomorrow. I really don't. I gotta be honest with you. I literally don't give a rat's ass about this horse race tomorrow. I mean, honestly, let's just get down to business. Does anyone even care about it? I mean, honestly, there's nothing. None of the horses are in it. Where do they find these horses?
It looks like they'll be okay tomorrow. It's mostly to partly cloudy throughout the day. There's a 15% chance of rain from 1 to 7 o'clock. So they should be okay and dry tomorrow over at Pimlico. And if you want to go see Maximum Security, you could stop by Monmouth.
Hey, Mafia, here's a race horse. Everfast becomes the 13th horse to enter the Preakness. At this point, you'll pull up the Foo Fighters' Everlast. And play that. Is that the song? Everlong, whatever. I don't care what the Pharrellan name of the song is. You're lucky I remember the band.
Or I could pull up the singer Everlast.
No, I like Everlast. I like that guy. I'm friends with him. 855-212-4227. I thought that was very refreshing at this point of the program. Oh, Pharrell, we love the program. Please stop on the way home and pick me up a pack of pool balls. Jordan in Calgary, Pharrell, Alberta, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, you're the best in the biz.
Hey, man.
I mean it when I say that.
Thanks, dude.
So I've called in about my Sharks earlier, before. I'm a little bit worried about them right now, you know, with Eric Karlsson kind of, it looks like he re-aggravated his groin, and I think Evander Kane is pretty banged up too. He hasn't really been productive in series and a half. What are your thoughts?
Well, I know they said after the game it's they're playing it like it's not a big deal, the Karlsson thing. He's fine. He didn't play a lot in the third. Look, it's going to be a great series. It's obviously top you know, shelf stuff. It's you know, the other one's over. Boston, you know, annihilated Carolina. And they're going to chill out for 10 days, which, I, you know, that's a story in itself. But no one can take away what Boston has accomplished. And they are seven straight. They mean business. They're playing great hockey. I am very concerned, to be honest with you, about the cooling off of 10 days. I have no idea how Cassidy's going to keep them rolling. I think it's impossible. I think, you know, you win seven in a row and then they stop you from playing for 10 days. You cannot tell me that you can pick it up where you left it off. I just don't believe that for 1 minute. So I hope they enjoyed their seven-game run because, well, I mean, it's like, what are you going to do, blow your nose for 10 days? I don't know what you do. But as far as the Sharks Blues, it's going seven if you ask me. I still believe in the Sharks. I got to be honest, not because I picked them all year to go. Not because I, you know, Carver High and I are on them with a, you know, at the beginning of the series even. None of that. It's just that I flat out, you know, think they're better. I do. I just think they're a better team. And I think, you know, like at the end of the game tonight, the last 10 minutes, I mean, they were just bombarding this guy with opportunities. And, I'm, you know, I'll be honest, I thought they were going to score. And they didn't. It is what it is. I bet on the Blues tonight, so I hit the bet. I'm not surprised at all they won because, you know, I thought that they would win the game, to be honest with you, more than 2-1 because I thought tonight would be their night because they got shafted so bad in game three. I thought they would come out and just take it out on the Sharks tonight. I really did. So the fact that they could only – now, I know 2-1 is no different than 5-1. It's the same thing. You win, right? But honestly, they, you know, they barely beat them. So – you know, you would think that on a night when you had to win, like you're desperate and you had to win, they got it done. I'll give them that. But you'd think they'd, you know, maybe win 3-1 or 4-2 or, you know, maybe do something a little more. You know, they hung on. Hurdle scored. They could have tied it many times, and they didn't. I just am not that impressed, Carver High, honestly, with the Blues in this series. I think I've been impressed with them in their 10 wins up to this point. But are you going to sit here and tell me that you think they're playing great in this series? Because I think they've been kind of average.
I think they've been okay.
Well, average.
I don't think either team has jumped off the chart and been great. That's why it's 2-2. Both teams have had their moments. Both teams have had their stretches of good play, stretches of poor play. They're two very even teams, and that's why it's going to go the whole way probably.
What do you think of the fact that the other ones were like Penguins swept, Islanders swept, Canes swept? I there's something bad about it. It leaves a bad taste in my mouth about the Eastern side.
It does. It's been very bizarre the way things have played out in the East.
It's been terrible.
Right. There's been no juice. You haven't had a lot of long series. In the first
round. Terrible.
First round, you had the Hurricane Capital series go seven. That went seven games in the first round. The Boston-Toronto series went seven games.
And then it was...
And Boston-Columbus played a six-game series. Everything else has been sweeps.
Which I thought was terrible. Mac in Columbus.
Hey, Scotty. How you doing?
Hey,
buddy. Call me a tall one, please.
I hate to tell you. I got 25 seconds, brother. Sorry.
Hey, real quick, Scotty. Damn darn shame about what's happening at Pimlico. This race has got no buzz. Speaking of the rain, I darn near got hypothermia back in the day. It rained so hard, and you got to go to Monmouth Park, all of you. It is a beautiful track.
Oh, I know. I've been to Monmouth. It's a great spot. It's awesome, and they got great racing down there. My buddy's horse won there the other day, like I said tonight. I think it's a great track.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.